Jesus, priceless treasure, fount of purest pleasure, truest friend to me. Alone in anguish shall my spirit languish, yearning, Lord, for thee. Thou art mine, O Lamb divine, I will suffer not to hide thee, not I as beside thee.
And that was Jesus, Priceless Treasure, and it is the hymn we're going to be taking a look at on this Rumination Tuesday, July the 10th in the year of our Lord, 2018, and with us is Pastor Mark Smith. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Tom, how you doing today?
I'm doing very good. Yourself?
Oh, just great. I'll tell you, I'm so happy with the choice of the Supreme Court Justice nominee. Excited about it.
Oh, that was something that was done this week?
Yes, it was. It happened last night, yeah.
Oh.
Historic.
All right. I was watching a movie. Okay.
What movie were you watching?
Bambi.
Oh, Bambi.
Yep.
Did you cry?
No.
You didn't?
No.
I can remember crying in that movie as a little boy.
Really?
Yeah, when the mother got shot.
Yeah.
Touching movie.
No, I like hot dogs, but the buns always fall apart. They're so small.
What does hot dogs have to do with Bambi or the Supreme Court Justice?
Because that's what you're eating while you're watching a movie.
A movie?
Oh, it's
they
great.
They have hot dogs there?
In my front room.
I see.
I just yell into the kitchen, and two hot dogs, Chicago relish, mustard, ketchup, onions. Oh, man, they're good. But I found some buns at a grocery store that are about three quarters bigger than a hot dog.
Uh-huh, right.
And this way the hot dog doesn't fall out or anything.
That's true.
That's really good. QT had them for a dollar. And every time I went to bite it, it would fall right out of the bun. So they're not.
Well, then you got to get the extra long hot dogs, see.
But they only have one size.
I see.
Yes, yes. What are we talking about? Hot dogs.
I don't know. When we got Jesus, priceless treasure. I mean, that's what we ought to be talking about.
Would you please read the first stanza?
Jesus, priceless treasure, fount of purest pleasure, truest friend to me. Ah, how long in anguish shall my spirit languish, yearning, Lord, for thee. Thou art mine, O Lamb divine. I will suffer naught to hide thee, naught I ask beside thee.
Written by Johann Franck, first appeared in 1653. And who is our favorite translator?
Catherine Winkworth.
Boy, I wonder how many she does.
I don't know, but I'll tell
you. Almost every time we have a good one.
Oh, I tell you, she was really a translator.
Franck actually modeled this hymn in 1641 after a love song by Heinrich Elbert. And in this hymn, he is considered the crown of his poetry. Faith boldly walking into the abyss to trust Jesus in spite of all sadness and trouble. In fact, even Peter the Great, Tsar of Russia, not known for his piety,
no,
had it translated into Russian,
really?
In 1724.
No kidding.
Now, there are some older Lutherans who considered it too subjective and emotional for corporate worship. So we want to look at that a little bit.
Huh. Would you read that one more time? I've got to hear that one more time.
True. Some older Lutherans considered it too subjective and emotional for corporate worship.
I can't imagine that.
And particularly since J.S. Bach made frequent use of this chorale in his cantatas. They were 12, 64, 81, and 87 in organ literature. And the most beautiful and intimate of his motets was Jesu meine Freude, which was
Jesus, joy of man's desire.
Yes, which was based on this hymn.
Beautiful, really.
So we'll have to see if it's too subjective and emotional for you.
Yeah. You're right.
Now,
for
see, when
for
I think,
one that cries in Bambi, yes.
Yeah, I mean... when I think of an emotional, it's usually an I hymn. It's talking about me.
Yeah, right.
And subjective. And I always like what Professor Nagel said, who's running the verbs?
Who's running the verbs, yes.
Yeah, who is the subject of our salvation?
That's right.
And if it's us, well, we've got a thing to be looking at. So let's see this first stanza.
There's one line there that I'm a little confused by. Maybe you can shed some light on it. I will suffer not to hide thee, not I ask beside thee. I understand not I ask beside. He doesn't want anything besides Jesus. Jesus is priceless treasure. But what is he? I will suffer not to hide thee. You know, I will suffer nothing to hide thee. Is that what he's saying?
Right.
I will suffer. I will permit nothing to hide. Oh, I see. I will permit nothing to hide thee.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
And what can hide us, if you look at this hymn, you've got anguish, my spirit shall languish, and that often hides God from a lot of people.
Right.
How many times do you do that? Now, the question I had, the title is Jesus' Priceless Treasure. So if it's priceless, how do we ever buy it?
There's no way. There's no way we can buy it. Not with silver or gold. But with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death.
That's how he saved us.
That's how he saved us.
So even though it's a priceless treasure, it's something that he gives us.
Exactly. He's a free gift.
Christianity is gift language.
Yes.
That's really important.
Who could have dreamed it?
Impossible.
That's right.
If they had, they would have come up with it because it's better than any other religion in the world.
It's got to be divine.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's got to be of divine revelation rather than natural revelation. I'll read two. In thine arms I rest me. Foes who would molest me cannot reach me here. Though the earth be shaking, every heart be quaking, Jesus calms my fear. Lightnings flash and thunders crash, yet though sin and hell assail me, Jesus will not fail me. How does he know that?
It's very comforting. By faith, he trusts in promises like, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Yeah, this is very important. This is promise oriented.
Right.
So not only is Jesus a gift, but it's also based on promises. And we can understand that foes who would molest me cannot reach me here. Now, I'm preaching right after this program here. And I'm making an interesting point on the difference between the death of John the Baptist versus Jesus. Jesus died because he said he was the Messiah, bringing the forgiveness of sins. He was God. He died for his theology.
Right.
John the Baptizer died because he spoke against the government.
Hmm. Well.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, I would have thought they'd almost died for the same reason.
No. No, he
spoke God's truth, though. He spoke God's truth about
well, that may be
John the Baptist, about Herod and Herodias's terrible marriage.
Yeah, right. But isn't that interesting? There's a lot of people telling us today, you Christians, you can have your views, just keep them in the sanctuary. Don't bring them out into the world. And that's the point. One of the points I'm going to be making is, no. Our teaching is not confined to the sanctuary. It goes out into the world.
Yeah. Shout it from the rooftops.
And we may be persecuted for that.
Yeah, that's right.
John the Baptizer died. I found an interesting verse I hadn't even realized there. What was the relationship between Herod and John the Baptizer?
Between Herod and John the Baptizer? Well, there was no... he was one of his subjects. John the Baptist was one of his subjects.
He ended up in jail because he spoke against a marriage.
Right.
But then there's a verse that says that Herod loved to talk
to John the Baptizer.
I didn't remember that.
Oh, yeah. He listened to him. Yes.
Yes. And so
didn't really want to kill him.
No.
He thought, I'll just keep him here in the Macarius, I think is the name of the place, this fortress. And
when I read that, I made a promise never to say to anybody, if you do this, I'll give you whatever you want.
Oh, I know.
Is that crazy?
What a wreck. Well, I've been drinking. You know, it was his birthday party.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's how reckless you can be when you get drinking.
And when
like
he made
that.
The promise, even though, I mean, he was king, but he didn't want to look as being dishonest in front of his friends.
Yes.
And who cares?
Oh, I know. So he kills this guy.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you, it's really interesting. Stanza 3.
Satan, I defy thee. Death, I now decry thee. Fear, I bid thee cease. World, thou shalt not harm me, nor thy threats alarm me while I sing of peace. God's great power guards every hour. Earth and all its depths adore him. Silent, bow before him.
I don't see how they get this to be subjective, except it's talking a lot about him. There's no doubt, like, Satan, I defy thee, but then, and I decry death, I bid thee cease, world cannot harm me. But why? Because of God's great power guards every hour. He gives all the credit to God.
Right.
Yeah. So that's really important to understand, that no matter what kind of problem you're going through in life, God's going to take care of us.
I would think this would be very comforting hymn to memorize, in, let's say, if you were a prisoner of war.
Oh, that's good.
You know, you're thinking you might have to face some torture, or or deprivation.
Yes.
And yet, you know he'll always be with you, though the foes molest me.
Yeah. Recently, I watched a two-hour program on artificial intelligence. You know, that's what's...
Are you thinking of purchasing some artificial intelligence?
Well, a car that can drive by itself? Well, I can read and do other things? That's great. I'd love that, man. But one of the things it was doing, it took 800 students and used artificial intelligence with computers. They would ask each student a question. And depending on how the student answered it, the artificial intelligence would realize whether to back up or go forward or this kind of thing.
No kidding.
And within 6 months, the kids were 90% further along than they had been.
No kidding.
Yes.
So it was a good thing.
Yes. And I was thinking, boy, wouldn't that be great if we did that with the catechism? Because it's one thing to memorize the catechism,
yes,
but it's quite another thing to know what it means.
Right. To understand it, yes.
Yeah, that's why Luther also says, what does this mean? You know, and that'd be interesting to do an artificial intelligence type program. It's amazing what they're able to do. There's certain diseases, and this artificial intelligence now, you know, they have these in homes. You can ask, what's the weather? And the voice will speak. Or you'll say, what's the capital of Brazil? And they'll tell you. It just has a volume of information. So they asked it what drugs could be used to heal a certain disease. And it went through 2 million papers, medical papers, talking about that disease. And they came up with 6 drugs that people hadn't been aware of that could be used.
Mm.
So artificial intelligence really... Now, one of the things people are worried about...
Is that artificial intelligence, the robots take over.
Yes, but they made the opposite point. The robots still need to be controlled and worked, and so you're actually not going to have people losing their jobs, but moving to operate robots instead. And so they didn't feel that anybody would really lose their job. The only people who would be losing their jobs are those who don't want to operate robots. Like, there's some people who still don't like computers. Do you know of any?
No, I can't imagine.
Yeah, look in the mirror. Okay.
I have a computer, Tom.
Yes. And you ask your secretary to turn it on. Stanza 4.
Hence all earthly treasure. Jesus is my pleasure. Jesus is my choice. Hence all empty glory, not to me thy story, told with tempting voice, pain or loss, or shame or cross, shall not from my Savior move me, since he deigns to love me.
You know, What you have here is really focusing on Jesus. Jesus is mentioned a couple of times, even in this stanza. Is this a hymn sung by the new man or old Adam?
Let me think. No, this is the new man.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Very good. Yes. Hence all earthly treasure, Jesus is my pleasure.
Because the old one, the old Adam, would want all the other worldly treasures.
Yeah. When I was growing up, my mother's car was a 55 Meteor, and I learned to drive. And the first thing I did is I put tassels around the inside, you know, that were hanging down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we used to put those on bikes, Tom. Tassels.
Yeah, well, I did it in the car.
You put them on the car.
Then I put the front end up in the air.
Did you paint flames on around the fenders?
No, I tried to paint, but it wasn't a very good job. I went to do black, and it didn't look that good. But I put a Hearst 4 on the floor on it, and spoked wheels, and got it all really neat. And what was so funny is watching my mother drive it. Oh, boy. So I ended up buying my own car.
I guess so.
But I noticed that my pleasure came not from finally owning the stuff, but by figuring out how to get in and put it on. That's where I had more pleasure.
Uh-huh.
Once it was there, then I had to get something else.
Uh-huh.
You know. But, yeah, it was a good lesson. I'll read 5. Evil world, I leave thee. Thou canst not deceive me. Thine appeal is vain. Sin that once did blind me, get thee far behind me. Come not forth again past thy hour, O pride and power. Sinful life, thy bonds I sever. Leave thee now forever. That's obviously the new man.
Right.
That whole verse.
Yes.
It's...
Once I was blinded by sin... Never again.
Yes.
Get thee far behind me, sin.
Yeah, get...
Oh, pride and power, sinful life, thy bonds I suffer, leave me now forever.
Yes.
That's the good that I would, I do not. Or no, that the evil that I would not, that's what I end up doing.
Yes.
Yes.
Right. Although he had the right attitude.
Right.
You know, he said, my new man desires these things. It's my old man who keeps making me fall. And who can therefore deliver me from this death? And thanks be to God
through Jesus Christ.
Yes, through Jesus Christ. So it's a hymn that the new man in us sings. And the fact of the matter is, sinful life, thy bonds I sever, leave thee now forever. Guess what? That does happen. As we repent
in Christ, it does.
It does
but
happen.
We daily sin much and indeed deserve nothing but punishment.
Exactly.
By ourselves, we can't say no to sin. We try.
Yep.
We fall off the wagon more times than we like to admit.
Last stanza, 6.
Yes. Hence all fear and sadness, for the Lord of gladness, Jesus, enters in. Those who love the Father, though the storms may gather, still have peace within. Yea, whate'er I hear must bear, thou art still my purest pleasure, Jesus, priceless treasure.
Yeah, it'd be a wonder to see how Catherine Winkworth translated this. You notice just the last words in this final, sadness, gladness, then... Enters in, and then within below, Father, gather, pleasure, treasure. Almost everything rhymes.
Yeah.
I think that's why. And it's hard to believe that the words in the original were those. So she had to, I'm sure, change some words to get the rhyming going.
I wonder if she did this on her own, or did people contract her to translate it? How do you think that worked?
I don't know her background. Yeah. In fact,
you have to look and see what it says in that book about Catherine Winkworth.
Yes. In fact, I'm looking up. They have actually a biography of all the, but I think it's just the people who
wrote the hymns.
Yeah, not...
not the translators.
No, no, no. It's definitely... This is the composers. Winkworth. Nope. She's not in here. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, she is.
What does it say?
Was born in Ely Place, Holborn, London, September 13th, 1827. Spent most of her youth near Manchester, moving with her family in 1862 to Clifton, near Bristol. She was a pioneer in women's issues, especially higher education for women. She spent much of her energy promoting Clifton High School for girls. She served also as governor of Red Maid School, Bristol, and a member of the Cheltenham Ladies College. Mm. Winkworth's translations of German hymns, however, to continue to bring her recognition, which are regarded as faithful to the original language while possessing literary merit on their own. Her works were prolific, and many are still in use. To Winkworth belongs some of the credit for a revitalized interest in German hymnody because of the volume and availability of her translations. Particularly noteworthy are those because the choral tunes were included with the original and translated texts. She published Christian Singers of Germany in 1869. She died suddenly of heart disease during a vacation in Moniteur, France, July 1st, 1878. And then it lists, oh, I can't even count them, a whole page worth of hymns.
Wow.
That she translated. Mm. That's why we keep running into them.
All that in about, you know, she lived about 50 years. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Well, that's good. I didn't know that was in there. So, Jesus' Priceless Treasure, it's the hymn of the day for this coming Sunday. You think you'll use it?
Absolutely. Sure, we will.
Okay.
We try to use the hymn of the day every Sunday.
Yeah.
Unless it's a real, you know.
Or it doesn't fit with the sermon.
Yeah, we fit it in some way. It's all about Christ.
Yeah, I spent almost 45 minutes last week figuring out the hymns because I bought that concordance.
Yes.
To the hymnal. And so every word I look up, and I know what my sermon's going to be about, and I try and find the words to fit it.
Is that about typical? It take about 45 minutes to pick hymns? It takes me about, I would say, at least about 45 minutes to pick hymns every week.
Yeah.
I think some people think we pastors just kind of pick them, you know, this is okay. I haven't done that for a while. Not at all. You want it to correspond to the message.
Exactly.
And you want it to kind of correspond to the season that you're in.
And I always ask the organist to give me a list of their favorite hymns. And the one I...
That's a good idea.
He gave me about 150 out of the hymnal. And so I make sure I use one or two of them every week.
Uh-huh.
Kind of thing to do, so... Kind of fun. So,
you're going to preach this Sunday? Morning. You got to preach.
Yeah,
don't
I know.
You?
I got to get going here. And when are you preaching?
I'm preaching at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church, just south of the Watson New Sappington intersection. I'll be preaching Saturday evening at 5 p.m. or Sunday morning at 9 a.m., both services.
All right. And that's Mark Smith. Thank you very much. And we're going to. Have you listened to the hymn again? Because I'm on my way to chapel. Thank you very much. God bless.
Jesus, priceless treasure, fount of purest pleasure, truest friend to me. In thine arms I rest me, foes who would molest me cannot reach me here. Though the earth be shaky,
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on Worldwide KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri, 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.